Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurture. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stonehouse, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. On today, our words of encouragement will be presented by Brother Bryant Hansel. His topic today is a veiled gospel. Before we bring him on to the air, I'd like to open the call to prayer requests. So if you have a request, please press the number one on your phone at this time. And when the last four digits of your number are called, state the name and need of the individual for whom you are requesting prayer. Caller 4867, state your request.
Good morning. This is Sister Patricia. I'm going to come with thanksgiving, thanking God for all he's done and all that he's doing, and ask for special prayers right now for one of my nephews that's in the hospital and dealing with some illness that we're not sure what it is. And special prayers for my entire family and the church, and as well as myself and for everyone on the line. Thank you.
Thank you. 6246, state your request.
Good morning. This is Brother McFaul. I just want to thank God for everything he's done and just continue to keep those in North Carolina in prayers that's flooded out and those families that lost loved ones, and just continue to be with those that's in the path of the storm, and that God continue to protect them, and just continue to pray for me and my family and for safe travels for myself and just my business as well. Thank you.
Thank you. 6371, state your request.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. This is Mary, and I'm asking prayer for my niece, Anita, that you would continue to pray with her in reference to her lymphoma. Also, for my cousin, Arthur, who has colorectal cancer, that you would keep him in prayer. Also, for my family, just keep us in prayer, and for everyone on the call, and for the Clark, LeGrand, and the Baker family. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for your prayer request. It is time I ask that you finally find yourself the quiet corner, stop whatever it is you're doing, and prepare yourself to listen to the words God has placed upon the heart of Brother Brian Tansel to share with us all on today. So the Tansel, you are none the ears.
Thank you, Sister Danielle. Hope you're continuing to feel better and get better as well. And thanks for all of you callers who called in today. We will definitely say a prayer for you and a prayer for your families and everyone out there. Today, our topic is a veiled gospel. We're going to spend just a moment talking about the veil, a veiled gospel, and then we'll close out with our prayers. So it starts by the Apostle Paul. He recounts for us the events that Moses was given the law, the events when Moses was given the law for Israel. He reminds his readers of Moses' appearance after meeting with God, and he said, "And when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called unto them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him. And Moses spake to them, and afterward all the children of Israel came nigh. And he gave them in commandment all that Jehovah had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face." That's in Exodus 34, verses 30 through 33. So Paul then argues in 2 Corinthians 3 concerning the rejection of the gospel by the Jews. He says, "But until this day, whensoever Moses is read, a veil lieth on their heart," in 2 Corinthians 3 and 15. Only when they turn to God through Jesus is the veil taken away. But whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away in 2 Corinthians 3:16. That's the actual verse. So a veil can be used for good or bad. It's basically a way of covering, a way of concealing. There's good reasons to conceal. There's not so good reasons to conceal. For example, today, I mean, you could look at a mask being a veil, right? There's a pretty good reason to have a veil on right now, a mask. We're in a pandemic that's reaching epic proportions, and it continues to grow every week. And while I'm on that topic and we're thinking about it, you know, a couple weeks from now will be Thanksgiving, and I know for me and my family, we're not going to be doing a large family gathering. And we can't stick our head in the sand and ignore all that's happening around us. We have to really take this seriously. I know my mom's dressing is better than anyone's in the world, and you probably know the same thing, right? It's what we're used to. There's nothing like mom's home cooking or one of our family members' home cooking, or if you're lucky enough to have something passed down to you like I have been, you know, you make those things that you learn from all your family members. But a veil can be used for good and for bad. So as we continue with the lesson, it says, later Paul continues reasoning concerning the gospel. And he again makes the application of the veil of Moses. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled in them that perish, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. So, in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, these verses set forth if our gospel is veiled. If you remember in the Old Testament, we often say a lot of things were concealed, right? And things are revealed in the New Testament. So let's talk about being blinded by Satan. When Satan persuaded Eve to sin in the beginning, he did it by lying, right? He said, and the serpent said unto, the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, in Genesis 3 and 4. He lied about the result of disobeying God, and you know, the devil's been lying ever since. Jesus told the rebellious of his generation, ye are the father, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, it is your will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and standeth not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father thereof. John 8:44. He's the father of lies. Remember that. Satan will change the truth of God for a lie. In Romans 1:25, to keep people in unbelief. So God gives us the clear warning. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And you've seen false prophets over the years. I think they identify and reveal themselves. So they may think that they have a veil on and they're concealing being a false prophet. But if you listen to what they say and watch what they do, the light shines pretty bright on those individuals, and you should be able to identify them. So we talked about the false prophets going out into the world. That verse was in 1 John 4:1. Jesus himself gave many warnings about false teachers. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are raving wolves, in Matthew 7:15. So did all of God's prophets of old. Yet, the Bible says, but there arose false prophets also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers who shall privily bring in destructive heresies, denying even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, in 2 Peter 2:1. So it may not seem like it's going to be swift destruction to false prophets and false teachers, but the Bible says it will. These folks sometimes live a long time. They live longer sometimes than people who are not false prophets. But believe you me, if the Bible says there's going to be swift destruction, just stand back and watch. So who's the author of all this false teaching? In 2 Corinthians 11, 13 and 15, it says, it says, "For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, fashioning themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for even Satan fashioneth himself into an angel of light. It's no great thing, therefore, if his ministers also fashion themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." So Satan, if he can, will cause the gospel to be veiled by his false teaching. How many people out there still have their veil on when they're listening to a false prophet? I just turned that around, didn't I? How many people have a veil on their face? They're covering, they're concealing what they should be opening up and listening to with their mind. They're taking in things from the false prophet, and they're embracing it, and they're putting this barrier around themselves. And it's hard to reach those people, right? That's a veil. So that's something we have to work at piercing as well. So we're going to stop at the lesson there and say a word of prayer or two. Before I do, I just want to talk about how easy it is for the devil to put some darkness or seed in our mind. If you think of the weather right now, it's changing, and my grandparents used to always chop wood, and, you know, with the axe, there's a wedge on the top. That wedge is made, you know, to split that wood up. And you just chop it, and, you know, you make some kindling to put on the fire in the house. And if you think of a wedge, all the devil has to do is just get a piece of the crack of that inside of your head. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much, because that's enough for the darkness to shine in, to come into your life, and for you to absorb it and put out these thoughts that are impure. It doesn't take much. It just takes a piece of the wedge, not the whole wedge, just a piece of it. So keep that in mind. Now will you bow with me in a word of prayer? Father, I want to thank you. This week we had to put our dog to rest on Sunday, Chocolat, 10 and a half years old. And we thank you for the beautiful life you gave us with him as he's been with us through our marriage. And we have many memories with family members, and we spent time training this lovely animal, and he's been so close to us and the other three dogs we have. We just really thank you for this beautiful life that touched us so dearly. And we thank everyone for their continued prayers and phone calls, and we also pray for individuals who also have lost pets that were really close to them. Father, we also pray for Sister Patricia, and thanks. She's just given some thanksgiving to her nephews in the hospital. Pray for the doctors, the nurses, and all the care team that's administering to her nephew, that he may get well and come back on the other side of his illness very soon. She also asked for prayers for her entire family, the church, and herself, and everyone. And that's a very unselfish prayer. If you noticed, Patricia had herself near the end of all these other people. Lord, we're asking for you to grant these prayers for our beautiful sister. Brother McFarlane asked for prayers, and we do as well for our people in North Carolina who have gone through the flooding. There's families still going through it that have lost family members. We pray for them that they get their lives restored and we're able to provide help. Pray for his family. Pray for safe travels. We pray for his business that he's able to hang in there during this really difficult time. Send him more customers than he knows what to do with, Lord. Help him look out and seek new ways to grow his business and to connect with friends and more people. And we wish him much success. We pray for Sister Mary, her niece Anita, who has lymphoma, and her cousin Arthur, who has cancer, Lord. Please be with them during this time. These are very difficult diseases to overcome. And we know that you can be the one that either eases this pain through this time, Lord, or brings them into full recovery. Lord, be with these, Miss Anita and Mr. Arthur. We also pray for Mary's family. and also the Clark LeGrand and the Baker family. And any of you out there that standing in need of prayer today that we didn't get to, the Lord knows your heart. The Lord knows what you're thinking and what you need and what we all need. Thank you for this time together this morning on Friday. Please be safe out there, everyone. And I'm looking forward to speaking to you next week. In God's name we pray today. Amen.